Redefining America, Constitution and Leadership, 2010. This is Mark Seltzer.
This is Jessica Piclo.
Well, it's time to take another look at the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico and the latest failure in efforts to cap the spill and where we might be looking going forward from here. It looks like the top kill procedure is officially dead. They have not succeeded, and it's time to move on from the latest that I read. I think they're going to create a new containment cap from what they learned in the one other effort where they attempted to put a structure over it to cap the well.
I think it's becoming clearer and clearer that the private industry does not have a solid solution for this problem. And unfortunately, from a lack of investment in our own infrastructure and a reliance on private industry to lead the way, neither does the federal government. So right now we are in a, to describe it generously, an entrepreneurial type of spirit in trying to address this disaster.
We're in a situation, there has been a blowout, there's been a failure, and then BP obviously has these technical fixes that they can try one after another. So it's not as though no one is ever contemplating fixing a broken well, even fixing a broken well underwater before. But what I'm confused about, is this all part of a vision of like, well, if this happens, then this will happen, and here's how we're going to handle it? Or is this more like the Apollo 13 disaster where we've never contemplated anything like this before, and we are throwing up everything we can as a solution to try to solve the problem?
It also strikes me as odd that both industry and government would allow something like deep water drilling to take place without some kind of clear contingency plan for disaster. As the news becomes clearer and clearer and BP does less and less of a job of controlling the information that's coming out, not only did they know about problems in as early as March, according to the New York Times today, the information that they were providing in terms of the amount of oil that could spill as a result of a blowout and the methods in which they had to deal with it were fudged. We'll give them some generosity there, if not outright misinterpreted. So, if we're going to have a regulatory scheme that puts the onus on private industry first, we have to make sure that private industry knows what the heck it's doing. And right now, I think that that very fundamental question is up in the air for the American public.
Yeah, I saw that the estimates now are that it's 12 to 19,000 barrels a day. That's a big step up from what they were earlier calling it, and they're saying maybe 18 to 40 million gallons of oil in the water already. The relief well, which is the guaranteed, what they're calling the guaranteed end of the problem, is probably 2 months away. So we have we've been in this situation a little more than a month, but we have a lot more damage to be done if they're not able to fix it with some of these more, questionable tactics that they're using. They've already surpassed the Exxon Valdez in terms of the amount of oil, the level of environmental catastrophe. And I think you're right. I mean, everything that we're reading is that people on the scene on the day of the incident and the days leading up to it made decisions which were not careful. They were not aimed to preclude disaster. They were aimed to just keep the process moving along and hope to get away with it.
No, and BP's initial response, I think, poses a very serious question about whether or not it was even criminal to the extent that it was misleading information on the nature of the disaster and the nature of the spill. And it's brought to light the question of who should bear this responsibility. And you mentioned the Exxon Valdez, and there's been a lot of criticism of the Obama administration that they have not rushed in and just taken control of this situation away from BP. And I understand that impulse because BP is demonstrating a lot of incompetence, in my opinion, right now. But that said, the administration is hamstrung both politically and legally in a lot of ways. In wake of the Exxon Valdez crisis, we had the Oil Pollution Control Act, which specifically states the responsible party, i.e. BP and Transocean in this case, are the primary burden bearers when it comes to containment and cleanup. And that's because when the Exxon Valdez ran aground, the American public was up in arms that it fell to the federal government to take care of this private industry disaster. And Congress wanted to make sure that never happened again. So now we have the exact opposite reaction, which is our federal government is not doing enough because private industry can't take care of itself. And it's just a sad but interesting irony in our political process.
Yeah, that's great background context to put it in. So I understand that there's a legal context. I'm wondering about the political context. We have James Carville, the Democratic campaign manager, talking about, you know, and he is from New Orleans in that area. They feel that the president is disengaged, that they need the president down there taking a look and taking more of a leadership role. I'm wondering whether the nation feels so vulnerable and so terrible about what's going on that it isn't a time for symbolic presidential leadership. Whether there's anything that the administration and the resources of the government can do to cap the well or not, because it's a technical fix and BP and the oil industry are the experts. Is this something where the president needs to say, I'm calling on the head of the Joint Chiefs, I'm calling the head of the Army, the Navy, everyone to move resources into the area, to move people into the area, and to be able to do anything possible to invent on the spot ways of skimming oil off the surface that we haven't thought about, of blocking the bayous, blocking the areas that are being contaminated now? It isn't that there's a clear path for Obama to take, but I'm wondering whether his everything's in control, I got it management style is not serving him politically, but also is there something that in retrospect we're going to say, no, a larger response, even though it's not clear what it needs to be, but more people, a larger response is called for?
I think that's a very fair criticism. And I think it's a consistent criticism of that we see with President Obama that has plagued him since his days as a candidate, where this cool professorial demeanor that he has in times of crisis can be perceived and spun, quite honestly, as too detached. We saw this when he was campaigning before he would hit back at criticisms both from within his own party and from the right. And we saw it with the healthcare debate too, where it seemed like the Democrats really lost control of the conversation and the country felt that it was up to President Obama to take the reins once again. And I think a symbolic move like that would have gone a long way. You know, there's been some hyperbole that this is President Obama's Katrina. And I mean, I find that offensive on a couple levels, but I do think it would go a long way to have him show a more physical presence. Now, to his defense, he's been in the region twice and he has been on the ground, which was more than President Bush ever did in response to Katrina. But that said, we do really need to have some specific showings of leadership, not just from the president, but from Congress. They've tried to address some of this in the form of raising the liability caps that BP would pay. That has been stymied by both some Republicans and some Democrats who are, quite frankly, beholden to the oil industry. That raises some real problems, I think, for this country in terms of its political process. When we had the Santa Barbara disaster and the Cuyahoga River explode, months later, we got the Environmental Protection Agency, and that was under the Nixon administration. So to think that we have a democratically controlled Congress and a democratically controlled executive branch, and we can't make significant inroads on environmental legislation in the wake of the single greatest environmental disaster that this country has ever faced, is beyond depressing to me.
The range of ideas that are being expressed is still so great. We have on the one hand Rand Paul winning the Tennessee Senate primary and saying he was offended by the talk from the administration of keeping their boot on the neck of BP, saying, you know, accidents happen and we need to recognize that. And I think there is something to that, in that the reason people are concerned about nuclear power is for all the talk of safety, accidents happen. You know, maybe not at Chernobyl, maybe that was lack of appropriate responsibility that wouldn't happen in the West. Who knows? But that doesn't mean that we then, I feel like there's a certain acceptance. And that's when the disaster is of this scale, you can't accept. You can't accept anywhere along the way. So on the one hand, there's those saying, you know, we need corporations to be willing to drill and we need them to be willing to serve our energy needs. And therefore, we don't want to impose too much liability on them. On the other hand, you know, we need to take responsibility so something like this does not destroy the economy of a significant area of the United States. We have to be active. We cannot be defeated, you know, in response. I mean, as complicated as it is.
And I think it's a failure of partisan politics in this country as well. If we can take a step back and look at the Deepwater Horizon disaster and put it in context of another failure of regulation, the Massey mine explosion, and they happened within months of each other, and both illustrate a disturbingly cozy relationship between the federal regulators and the industry in which they are supposed to be regulating. And regulation only works if there is a somewhat adversarial nature between the two parties. And there's been a lot of criticism lobbied at this administration for not cleaning house. Well, it would be great if this administration could clean house, but that would require the Republicans to vote in presidential appointments, and they just refuse to do so. So we are literally at a standstill. We have a Department of Interior with a subdepartment in the MMS that is plagued with incompetency. And Ken Salazar got grilled by Congress about ethics lapses that went on at MMS during the reign of his predecessor, Gail Norton. And his response was, I'm doing everything that I can. And it is not a sufficient response. I mean, Salazar needs to be doing as much as he can, but we also need to recognize that if we are not going to allow each administration, and Democrats have been guilty of this in the past too. So I don't think this is just a failure of the Republicans, but they have taken it to a new extreme in this administration. If we are not going to allow presidents the opportunity to put in place their people, then we just simply cannot expect anything in this country to get done. And that is a real tragedy as well.
I think that's a great point. You know, that was highlighted for me by the recent election in the UK. Cameron to replace Brown, they said it took about 90 minutes. As soon as the vote was tallied, as soon as they were sure that he had put together a minority government, he walked into 10 Downing Street and took over that government. And a lot of the civil servants that work in that do not need to be replaced, and they are ready to be part of the new administration. So, you know, the system may have its costs and its benefits, but we have one that is dysfunctional when a year and more into the new administration, President Obama is still waiting for confirmation of his appointments. And so it's crazy. I mean, he does have the authority to sort of reject Senate confirmation temporarily by recess appointments, and maybe that's an answer until we fix the system, but it is absolutely a failure this way, and we're seeing things that we shouldn't see.
And unfortunately, plenty of blame to go around to all parties on the regulatory side and the private industry side. And ultimately, while that may have a cathartic effect, it's going to do nothing to effectively deal with and figure out a way to move forward from this disaster, because life will not look the same. The region is going to be permanently altered on an economic level and on an environmental level. And to think that we are 2 months into this disaster and there is still a debate about whether or not oil is a primary part of an energy policy moving forward, when we know it's limited and we know the catastrophic environmental impact it has, regardless of a disaster, and we are not crafting a true and comprehensive clean energy policy, is just sad. It shows the worst of this country instead of the best. And normally it is these occasions in our historical past that have brought really great and momentous global change. And unfortunately, I don't see this happening right now.
I agree with you 100%. I wrote about that for Care 2 this week in a piece on the suspension of the oil drilling permits in the Arctic. And, you know, just that everyone is already talking about this as a temporary measure in order to guarantee that safety and environmental concerns are taken care of before new permits are issued. But there is a unwillingness to take on a comprehensive clean energy position for the United States. And I think this goes to every American. Every American needs to think about their values and their concerns. Of course, we cannot instantaneously jump from oil to something else, but to not be willing to take policy positions that promote green energy and that take us away from this risky and environmentally, you know, unstable direction is crazy.
I couldn't agree more. Let's hope by the next time we talk about this topic, we at least have progress made and something that comes close to resembling good news instead of worse and worse news, which has been the case recently.
That sounds good. I know they'll be working on the containment cap. I think they said the next 4 to 7 days, and I don't know what tricks they'll have up their sleeve if that fails, if they're going forward. The relief well is sometime in August by the time they get that fully installed. But okay, great to catch up with you on this.
You too. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Jessica.